grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the reading we just heard from Deuteronomy chapter 7, where through Moses, the Lord speaks to Israel, "You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." This is only a part of what the Lord said through Moses throughout Deuteronomy, as Moses went back and summarized everything that the Lord had been saying through him since he had been called to take Israel out of Egypt and lead them toward the promised land. In fact, Deuteronomy means second law, and it's a retelling of not just the law as far as the commandments, but the law in the broad sense of everything that God wants his people to know. And one of the things God wants his people to know is that they are his treasure. That's nice. Don't we baby our children like that? Don't we think that way, especially when love is new and blossoming, that he or she is a treasure? And we have other treasures. I heard some when we were talking with the children. Gold or silver or money or whatever else. But those treasures move on, they move away, they change in value. Those treasures are treasures, though, because we have assigned a value to them. You take out your money and you look at it, and you think, what's it worth? Why does that paper in your wallet and your purse and your pocket have any value at all? It's because you and someone else have agreed that it has value, because that's just a piece of paper, and by itself, it's not worth all that much. It's what backs it, which is why these budget and deficit talks are so important in politics, because if we refuse to say our money is worth what we say our money is, then it's worthless. And if God refuses to tell you that you're his treasure, you're worthless. He's actually fairly gentle at this point with Israel, isn't he? Because you can go through the first five books, and you can see time after time where either directly through Moses or Moses quoting those who had gone before him, the Lord had strong rebukes, grievous judgments, banishment from Eden, with death as the curse from sin. The flood, with only those who were able to be on the ark saved. The ground opening up and swallowing Israelites because they're rebelling against God. Snakes coming in to their encampment and biting them and them dying because they rebelled against God. But this is much more gentle. But let's hope it's just as effective. It was not because you were more. Here, just more in number. You were the fewest of all peoples. We got a little clue of that as we closed out the intro today, that little line about Abraham and Jacob. Remember, God started this group that's now over a million people with an old man and an old woman. He commanded that old man to get up and move to a place that he would never own. And he promised that his people would be many. And then Abraham had to wait until he was past his 100th birthday before he was able to have an heir through his lawful wife. It wasn't because Abraham was so great. Certainly not because Isaac was so great. And when we get to Jacob, oh boy, it's not because Jacob was a model of righteousness. The trickster, the deceiver, The one who cheats his brother out of the birthright. In Jacob, we see a really good view of our own hearts. It was there in Abraham, it was there in Isaac, but Jacob really puts it on display. But God treasured Abraham. And Abraham was faithful. And God treasured Isaac, and Isaac is sort of a bridge. He doesn't do that much, he doesn't say that much, but the things that he does do and say are good and right and proper. And then there's Jacob. He butts heads with his family, and he butts heads with God. When he leaves, he makes a deal. Well, if you take care of me, then I'll let you be my God. That sounds a lot like us. But God comes in here and says, Jacob, Walter, Bob, Fred, Nancy, Alice, whatever your name is, let's get over ourselves. You are only important, you're only valuable because I value you. If I didn't love you, you would be like one of those people clawing to get on the ark as the water's coming down, as the fountains of the deep are coming up, and you're finding out that you aren't near the swimmer you thought you were. If I didn't treasure you, if I didn't value you, you wouldn't be one of those Israelites standing on the far side of the Red Sea looking back and saying, boy, look at those Egyptians sink. You would be one of those Egyptians sinking. But God assigned a value to you, the purchase price that we confess in the creed, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. You were few. And we remain that way in the world. We're little, we're weak. Even if we're physically strong, even if we're mentally vibrant, even if we have talents coming out of our ears, in the whole scheme of things, the world wouldn't really miss any one of us or all of us. But God would. And that's the important thing. A thing that Jesus illustrates over and over in his treasure parables, his kingdom of heaven parables. Sometimes the treasure is us looking to have something in heaven. At other times the treasure is God looking down and giving value to something on earth. And when God gives us value, we have real, true, and lasting value. We are that for which he gave up everything, his own son unto death. We are that pearl of great price that has that value because he happened to like pearls. We're not more. We're not stronger. We're not more handsome. But we are his. The Lord loves you. To the children of Israel, they heard how he was keeping the oath that he swore to their fathers, that he brought them out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery. But the Lord swore other oaths as he went along. Some of those had already been uttered to Abraham, that about posterity, that about what was coming. He would make more promises as it went on when Israel was established. And to David, he would talk about the kingdom that would not depart. And he continued keeping all those promises until the one great promise was fulfilled. In the Son of God, who was also the Son of David, a child of Israel himself, standing on earth, preaching, teaching, healing, and being put to death for us. And with his holy death comes our holy life. We have passed through the Red Sea in our baptisms. We have been baptized by the Lord with his Spirit and his power. And we are his treasured people. God destroys that within us which is not good, that he might add to that which is. By birth, worthless, but by his work, by his word, by his Spirit, growth, change, and increase in faith. And God willing, then also an increase in deed. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. Know also that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is your God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him. And even better than that, even when we forget to love him, Even when we turn off the love or divert it to other treasures in other places, God continues to love us. He continues to value us. He continues to treasure us, and he continues to work to bring us back to him. As it says, to 1,000 generations. In other words, to every generation that will be on earth until the earth is no more. And that love is yours. And those promises are yours. And the keeping of those promises that you've already seen is a sign that God will keep that last promise and will bring you to live in perfection in eternity forever and ever. God grant you the faith to hold to these promises and the strength to live as one who is blessed by them, as a shining treasure held beloved by your God. In the name of Jesus, your Savior. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.